He was sentenced to death. He was crucified. And it says in Luke chapter 23, verse 44, "And now, about noon, darkness came over the whole earth and the land, and until 3 in the afternoon, the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple veil was torn in two. Jesus called out in a loud voice, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' When he said this, he breathed his last." After Jesus was on the cross, hanging there, he breathed his last breath. A soldier took a spear and stabbed it into Jesus' side, piercing his lungs and his heart. And it says in John chapter 19, verse 34, "Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing all of a sudden flow out blood and water." Two ways somebody normally died when they were on the cross. One was what happened would be as a prolonged, rapid heartbeat, which resulted in hypovolemic shock. What this did is caused fluid to build up around the heart. They call it pericardial infusion. The second way was asphyxiation. What happened was basically you couldn't get enough breath to stay alive and you're starved from oxygen. This also called up or caused a fluid to build around the heart. So when they stabbed the spear in Jesus' side and blood and water came out, it was obvious to them he was dead. He wasn't alive. And after they did that, Jesus was dead. They took him off the cross. They gave him to a guy named Joseph. He took him to a tomb that he had made, and he put him in that tomb. And it said in Mark chapter 15, verse 46, "So Joseph bought some linen cloth, took it down the body, wrapped it in linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he had rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb." It says in John 27, verse 65, "Take a guard," Pilate said. "Go and make the tomb as secure as you know how." So when they went and made the tomb secure, they put a seal on it in the stone and posted a guard. Now understand this, the stone that was rolled in front of there probably would have been about 4 to 6 feet in diameter. It'd be about 1 inch thick. Could have weighed anywhere between 2,000 and 4,000 pounds. And then they would have rolled that stone into place on a little groove that was cut out of the rock. And then they create a notch at the end so when they got to the end, it would drop into place, making it near impossible to move. A few men even, wouldn't be able to move that rock. So for sure, Jesus is dead. We can tell that because the spear went inside and blood and water came out. And then they put him in there behind the guard of the guards and then a seal on the stone and the stone which weighed 4,000 pounds. The people who killed Jesus thought he was dead, that he was defeated once and for all. Matthew 28 verse 1 says this, "There was a violent earthquake and an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, he rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. And the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know you are here looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he had laid.'" So Jesus is in a tomb, sealed behind the tomb. And then a violent earthquake comes. An angel comes over, takes his little finger, and moves the 4,000-pound stone out of the way. Now, understand that they didn't have to do this. That the angel didn't move that stone to let Jesus out. Jesus was already gone. He moved the stone so people could go in and see that he wasn't there anymore. Jesus had risen from the dead. All superheroes have sidekicks. Captain America has Bucky, and Iron Man has Jarvis. Batman has Robin. Jesus has angels. Angels can fly around and have superpowers. Now, I think Jesus' sidekicks are way more cooler than any other superhero. You see, the disciples were sad. Their hero, Jesus, the one they followed, the one they loved, was gone. They thought he was dead, but he had really risen from the dead. It says in John chapter 20, verse 19, on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were gathered together, and the doors were locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed himself, his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Here the disciples are, they're hiding away, thinking that the Jews are going to come and kill us too. They're behind locked doors. So what's Jesus do? He walks through the wall and goes into the room. Now that's a pretty cool superpower. The stone in the grave didn't stop Jesus. He just walked through that too. When it came to a room that's locked, it doesn't matter. He walked through that as well. See, Jesus is alive. There's no question. There's no doubt. And he'd been with disciples for a while, for some time, but soon he had to leave. So it says in Luke chapter 24, verse 50, and he led them out of the vicinity of Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he blessed them, he left them and was taken away into heaven. Jesus flew up into heaven while his disciples were watching. Another cool superpower where Jesus is flying up into heaven. I remember my brother, he was saying when he was just young, my dad was talking about the rapture and about how we're going to get new bodies and all those things. And my brother starts thinking, you know, he was an active little kid and he's about 7 years old. And he says to my mom the next day, he says, "Mom, when we go into rapture and go into heaven and get new bodies and come back, we got to fight with Jesus, the battle of Armageddon. I want somebody to try to cut me with the sword but not hurt me when they hit me." Little kids' imaginations. And see, and that's what, is that possible? Can that happen? It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, in the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable and be changed. For this imperishable cloth itself will is imperishable, and the mortality will bring, or mortal will be with mortality. See, God, or this body here, gets old, gets tired, gets worn out, it gets sick, but God's going to give us a new body. It won't get tired. It won't get worn out. It won't get sick. It won't fade away. It says we will be immortal. New bodies, resurrection bodies, that we'll be able to fly up into heaven. We'll be able to walk through walls. If our bodies are like Jesus, we'll be like superheroes too. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, it says this. Jesus died for our sins, and he was buried and was raised on the third day. And he appeared then to about 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters. Jesus is alive. He's appeared to not just 12, not just the women that came to the tomb. He appeared to hundreds and hundreds of people. He is alive. There's no doubt. There's no question. These things are all proof that Jesus is alive. He is well. He's more than a good man. He's more than a teacher, more than a prophet, more than a miracle worker, more than just another superhero. Jesus is the Son of God. He is God. He's the Savior of the world and of you and me. Jesus is the hero of Easter, and he wants to be the hero of our life too. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you today that we could be here together to have fun, to celebrate you, and that you rose from the dead, Lord Jesus. We know for sure that you died, but Lord, even death, even the grave couldn't keep you down, couldn't keep you in. So Lord, we thank you for raising from the dead. I just want you to just keep your heads bowed and eyes closed for a minute. It is so amazing to understand and see that Jesus rose from the dead. But this raising from the dead isn't the most important thing. What it is raising from the dead shows us that Jesus has power over life and death. And he died for our sins. And so that we could have relationship with him, so we too someday could be in heaven just like he is. That's the biggest thing about him raising from the dead. So you're here this morning, and you maybe haven't made a commitment to Jesus, and you haven't had a relationship, and you don't know if you're going to go to heaven when you die. But you want to. I'd encourage you, if you would just here right now, at this moment, want to say this prayer together with me, asking Jesus into your heart, into your life, you'll have that assurance that you will be going to heaven too when you die. Just say this prayer between you and God after me. Lord Jesus, I am here right now. I know that I need you, because on my own, I'm not good enough. I can't do what it takes to get my way to heaven. I need you, Jesus. I know you have the power to set me free, to give me new life. So I pray, Lord Jesus, forgive me of all my wrong. Come into my life that I might live for you. Just keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. If you said that prayer, I want to congratulate you. You are a new believer in Jesus. You're part of the family of God. You're assured of heaven. It's the greatest thing. That says there's a celebration going on in heaven right now because you made that commitment. So if you've done that with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, you've made a big decision. You probably have lots of questions. We have some information we'd love to give to you now that you've made that decision that will help you understand better what you've done and what the next steps are going to be. So if you said that prayer with heads bowed and eyes closed, I'd encourage you just quickly raise your hand. We'll make sure you get that information. If you just quickly, yes, thank you. Yes, thank you.